Here. Approval of the minutes?
So moved. Second.
Second by Alberts, I mean Dietrich, and then Valesky. At this time, we'll take up Senate Bill 95.
Good morning, Senate Transportation Committee. I'm Senator Paul Dennett, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for carrying this over. But as it ended up, my county treasurer and Deb Helmer worked together on the phone, and she decided she wouldn't even come out today, and maybe it's a good thing she didn't, although Northeast is pretty good compared to the rest of the state. We lucked out for a change, but maybe it'll circle around and get to us. I think Dave has got an amendment for Senate Bill 95 as written to hand out, or maybe you did already, Dave. What prompted Senate Bill 95 is early this fall, the county treasurer and I was talking at a different meeting. I think we was all there, and she brought up an example of what happened. There was an excuse me, an auction sale in the area, and a young man, I thought she said a young man, bought a motorcycle at this auction and wrote a check and left the auction with the motorcycle and was cruising down the road or playing and wrecked it and stopped payment on the check and then still demanded that the title be transferred to him. And current law says that the title has to be transferred within 30 days. So, as you see in the original bill, we just had it after the purchase paid to or agreed to finance, and Deb got a hold of this, and she didn't like that simple writing, so she had to make it two lines longer, and so Deb probably will take over to explain what the department did and why they did it, and I think she's talked to Sheila, our county treasurer, and it's more the used car dealers or auto dealers. We talked about it at the auto banquet the other night, and they see no really reason for it, but it didn't really affect them either way, so they weren't proponents or opponents to my dealers were there, but I think it protects some of the auctioneers that sell used vehicles at farm sales. So with that, I'll turn it over to any other proponents and stand by.
Anybody has any questions to Senator Dennett? Okay, thank you, Senator.
Yep, thank you.
Further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Deborah Helmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Yes, we did look at this bill, and it's an original form. We did not like it at all. I did work with Senator Dennett to write an amendment to it, so at least it would be palatable for us. However, in talking with the auto industry, perhaps there needs to be a further amendment to it. In order to clarify that maybe a written provision is done when this happens so that the department's put on notice when somebody doesn't get their title, because we're usually the ones that get contacted if somebody doesn't receive title within the 30 days. So I think maybe we need to do a further amendment. And as maybe you do or do not know, there is also another bill coming through that deals with the same issue, and it's Senate Bill 137. So.
All right, any questions for Deb?
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 95? Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 95?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Gregerson. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Automobile Dealers Association. We looked at this bill. We weren't just quite sure if we were for it or against it. We didn't quite know what the reason was behind it initially. There is another bill coming through. We would think if this bill had some type of notice requirement so people aren't running around for a long period of time without titles, that would make the bill better. So we would request, Mr. Chairman, that this committee look at some type of notice requirement that would have to go to the state. Thank you. If you have any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Thank you, Phil. Are there any other opponents of Senate Bill 95? Seeing none, we'll close the committee. And does somebody want to move this amendment?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second? Second by McCracken. All in favor by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? What I'd like to do, committee, I'd like to hold 95 over into Thursday. We're scheduled 137 to come up on Thursday also. We'll hear both of them and see what the contrast is between the two bills. If that is okay with the committee? If I will hold this 95 over then.
We're hold, so the motion was to?
For the amendment.
Okay. Oh, well, that was for the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Senate Bill 119, we are holding that bill over also, and that will be held here on Thursday at the request of Senator Bros and the department. Senate Bill 115, Senator Dietrich, you ready, sir? Okay.
Is it okay, Mr. Chairman, if I just take that from here?
Absolutely.
I want to leave plenty of room for all the supporters of the bill at the end of the table. I hope did. Should I take a poll to make sure everybody read the bill from cover to cover, Mr. Chairman?
You can, sir.
It's a lengthy bill. The reason that the bill is before you is last year, it came to my attention when we went to the graduated driver's licensing a couple years previous to that, that we had not updated the motorcycle part of the statute. So we tried to go ahead and do that, and it was towards the middle of session. And during that process, we found out that the statute that takes care of driver's licenses has been amended so many times that it was just literally a mess. And so the Transportation Committee last year asked the department to go ahead and look at that statute or that chapter and try to reorganize it so that as we make adjustments in the future, we can do it relatively simply. I mean, we just kept coming back to we'd make amendments and then we'd have to re-amend and re-amend because we found new parts to that chapter that we had to amend in order to make the motorcycle part work. So we requested the department to do that. We have a couple of department people that spent many hours along with the LRC in trying to redraft that chapter, and that's really what you have before it. Our goal was to make no changes in that chapter as far as the process of licensing, but simply to reorganize. And if some people found something other than that, then we need to adjust it. But that was our goal. And from what I read the bill, which I did read the bill, that was what I thought we accomplished. And so hopefully that's the case. With that, I would stand by for any questions or certainly allow the department, we've put a lot of the time into it, to also help answer those questions.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Are there
Chairman.
Any questions to Senator Dietrich? Are there further proponents of Senate Bill 115?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Cindy Gerber. I'm the Director of Driver Licensing. And Senator Dietrich pretty much covered it, what we did in this bill. Wendy Kleppner, who is here, worked very hard on this with us. And basically, it was to clean up and reorganize. And we didn't make any substantive changes in the bill. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Are there any questions from the committee? Thank you, ma'am. Are there four or further proponents of Senate Bill 115? Seeing none, are there any opponents of Senate Bill 115? Seeing none, we'll close the committee discussion and final disposition of the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dietrich.
I would move to pass on Senate Bill 115.
Second by Senator McCracken. Any further discussion on Senate Bill 115? Hearing none. Yes, Senator Valesky, if you'll come in. Valesky.
Do you want to see if Valesky?
See if Valesky comes on.
So much for playing.
Guys,
we still have a quorum, don't we? Hi, Dave. We still have four people. Right. Okay. Seeing no further discussion, the secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albert. Senator Dietrich.
No. Let me vote.
I thought maybe he left the room too. Okay. Albers.
Senator Albers.
Aye.
All right. Diedrich.
Aye.
Hagan.
No.
McCracken.
Aye.
Spolesky.
Aye.
Sagers. Bitter.
Aye.
Yeas 5.
Bill carried. It would go to floor 2. Pass.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I would move to the consent calendar.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It will go to the consent calendar. You're mighty welcome. House Bill 1036.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Myron Rao with the Highway Patrol. And that moved a little bit too quickly for me, so I'm not
exactly
ready.
That's okay, sir. Take your time.
The reason this bill was brought from the agency was we were having some problems in court with when an out-of-service driver gets cited for violating an out-of-service order. The way that old language read, it just said, or an out-of-service order, and didn't delineate what kind of an out-of-service order. And just to back up a little bit and let everybody know how this system works, when we inspect a truck at roadside, we fill out this form, and it's called a driver vehicle examination report. And that just checks the violations, it puts the vehicle identification information, driver information, so on and so forth. When we find a violation of a driver hours of service regulation, in other words, when they've driven more hours than they should drive, we take them out of service. The equipment, same thing. You find a vehicle with bad brakes or cracked frame or tires or whatever it may be, we stick a big sticker in the windshield and we say you can't drive. But there are drivers that still drive after you tell them not to. And that's what it, then it becomes a class one misdemeanor under this statute. We're really not changing that. All it's doing is clarifying what the out-of-service conditions can be. In other words, it says no driver or no person may drive a commercial motor vehicle on the highways of the state while the driver, the commercial vehicle, or the carrier is out of service. That way, any condition that you have on an out-of-service declaration, it's pretty easily adjudicated. We looked at it as cleanup.
Nice music.
It's a wonderful bill. It's absolutely, absolutely.
Are there any questions from the committee? Senator McCracken.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Myron, I have one question. So let's just say that we have a truck and the driver's driven too many hours, but if they have a buddy system, they can still keep right on going, right?
That is absolutely true. It's just that driver that's taken out of service. We would not park the truck in that case. And a lot of the times with drivers, that is what they do, is they bring another driver, even if they have to drive them in with a car or fly them in or whatever it may be, so that truck keeps moving.
Thanks, Byron.
Any further questions, Captain? Senator Diedrich.
With the change in the statute, Captain Rao, I'm going to assume that you're going to go on just as you are now. We're changing the law, as I understand it, to conform with what the practice is right now, just clarifying it in the statute.
That is exactly correct. There was some concern in the House, the way it was read, that this is expanding our authority to take motor carriers out of service. That is not the case. In fact, we do not take carriers out of service in South Dakota. We do not do carrier audits. The reason that's in there is, and most recently one of these happened with the state of Iowa. They had shut down a carrier completely, 300 and some trucks. Well, guess what? We found one in South Dakota. That's why that section is in there, but it has nothing to do with expansion of authority.
Any further question? Captain, before you leave, I'd explain the out-of-service order. What is the penalty for that? If there's no substitute driver, what happens to the truck?
I'll answer it in several parts.
That's
here.
Fine.
Okay, the first thing on an out-of-service order, they may not even get a ticket. We may just tell them they can't drive anymore. Doesn't necessarily have to happen.
Excuse me, for how long period of time?
For a driver, it would be until he's got hours to drive again.
Okay.
Because they can only drive 70 in a week, mm-hmm. or 10 in a day before 8 hours off. And so sometimes it's 8 hours, sometimes it's longer than that to get time. as far as where the truck is parked, we park it at a safe location where the driver can have facilities. In other words, bathroom and food and that type of thing. But equipment, if we've got a semi out there that's got a broken frame, for instance, it stays right where it's found.
Okay. All right. Any further questions? Thank you, Captain. Any further proponents of House Bill 1036? Seeing none, are there any opponents of House Bill 1036? Mr. Thiessen.
Members of the committee, Mr. Chairman, my name is Dick Thiessen. I'm an attorney here in Pierre and a registered lobbyist on behalf of Waste Management. I'm not an English major. But I just want to make sure that this would not allow the situation where one of our drivers, I mean, let's face it, every business has employees that are rogue employees. If we have a driver that has had some sort of out-of-service order in another state, is it going to put my vehicle out of commission here? And the way I'm reading it, it appears that driver, vehicle, carrier are all subject to this Class 1 misdemeanor if there's any out-of-service order. I think any is bothering me. I'm not sure. Any seems to apply to any one of those. So if the driver has been subject to an out-of-service order, is the company subject to the Class 1 misdemeanor? I want to make sure it's clear. I don't think that's what Myron intends. But and I'm okay with what's intended. I just am worried about whether it does what it says it does. Now, if that's going to be the practice, I guess maybe it'll be a non-issue. But I'm not even sure how to fix it. But, and maybe I'm reading it wrong. You see what I'm looking at? I'm concerned about whether if the driver has an out-of-service order in another state, is that going to subject my company in this state to a Class 1 misdemeanor?
I'll allow Captain Rowe. Can you answer that first?
Yes. First of all, we can't ever charge companies. We only charge drivers. And that everything it says in here, it says no person. So we would only charge that driver. And to answer your question, Mr. Thiessen, that driver would then be charged. And yes, you may have to send another driver for that truck, but only the driver would be charged with a Class 1 misdemeanor.
Okay.
This is under the driver license statute in Senate Bill 115. I'm sure this statute appears somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does.
I didn't read the bill.
Now I remember. The page numbers.
I didn't read 115, so I
Senator Valesky.
Well, my question, Captain, maybe it's along the lines of Dick Thiessen, is what do you mean by motor carrier operation?
There are other states, and I don't know if it's all states, but other states, and like I say, the most recent one we had was the state of Iowa, where they declare a carrier an imminent hazard. And that, there's a step system where that happens. You might have a driver, and then it's five drivers, and pretty soon it's 12 trucks, and there's a due process there. This takes over the course of a year or more, where they just absolutely refuse to fix things and absolutely refuse to drug test their drivers and refuse to fix equipment, and they don't abide by the hours of service, and they're served by either the state or the Federal Highway Administration in the state of South Dakota with notice that if they don't clean this up, they're going to be declared an imminent hazard to the motoring public, and therefore they will be taken out of service. And there's probably 20, 30 of these companies a year in the United States where they are declared an imminent hazard. This did happen in Iowa, and like I say, we did find a truck in South Dakota.
Senator Valesky.
Just a follow-up. Captain, then, in that case, those companies obviously, you know, out of compliance and whatever sanctions should be put on them, that's fine. But there, though, you are ticketing a company. Are you putting sanctions on a company or individual drivers?
It would be the driver.
Trucks.
This is in the CDL statute, so they would be charged with a Class 1 misdemeanor against their CDL. It's a driver.
Any further questions? Thank you. Are there further opponents of House Bill 1036?
Senator, I'm a proponent.
I'll allow you to testify.
Thank you.
Just very shortly, Dick Gregerson, I represent the South Dakota Trucking Association. We looked at this bill. We think it's a good bill. And I might remind the committee, for a company to be put out of business, they've really got to be bad.
Okay.
And so we don't want them on the highways of South Dakota, so we support the bill. Thank you.
Are there further opponents of House Bill 1036? Seeing none, we'll close it to committee for discussion and action. Senator McCracken moved to pass. Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Dietrich. Are there further discussions within the committee on 1036? Seeing none, I'll ask for a disposition of the bill. Motion?
Yeah.
Do pass?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, all right, okay. No, thank you. The secretary will call the roll. Those in favor are saying aye. Those opposed are saying no. The secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albert.
Aye.
Dietrich.
Aye.
Hagan. McCracken.
Aye.
Valesky.
Aye.
Staggers. Bitter.
Aye.
Yeah, 5.
House Bill 1036, we go to floor with you, pass.
Chairman?
Yes. Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Valesky. All in favor by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed by saying no. We go to the floor. Go to the consent calendar. House Bill 1038.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, Myron Rao with the Highway Patrol. With this bill, I basically come with an apology. It's too bad we have to put this in every other year or every third year, but it's very important that this body retain the oversight as to a readoption of federal regulations. And you see a lot of these bills every time you come in here. We normally present this every other year, forgot last year for some reason, so it's a three-year thing, but normally you'll see it every other year. And all it is a readoption of the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations, inserting the date 2001 for the current date, which is 1998.
Any further questions? Senator Dietrich.
Why is this particular, why is the system set up that you have to come in here every other year? Or is that a requirement from the feds?
No, that's a system that I think this legislative body has decided to retain so that you have oversight rather than just make an automatic adoption. And I think that's very important for you to have that oversight.
Any further questions? Thank you. Are there further proponents of House Bill 1038?
Chairman, Trucking Association, again, we support the bill. Senator Dietrich, if I could maybe answer your question. The main reason for this is it's unconstitutional. If you delegate to some other body, like the federal government, you say you can't automatically adopt the rules because then you're assigning to them legislative functions. So it's an unconstitutional assignment of your duty. So that's why if you adopt regs from some other source, it has to be specified on a specific, whatever is in effect on that specific date. And so when they change, then you have to come back, and it's a housekeeping measure, but the courts would throw it out if you didn't.
Are there further proponents of House Bill 1038? Seeing none, are there any opponents of House Bill 1038? Seeing none, we'll close the committee and disposition of the bill. Senator Valesky. Is there a second?
Second.
Senator Dietrich, second. All in favor? Any further discussion on this bill? The secretary will call the roll. All those in favor will vote aye. Those nay. The secretary will vote call the roll.
Senator Albers.
Aye.
Dietrich.
Aye.
Hagan. McCracken.
Aye.
Valesky.
Aye.
Staggers. Bitter.
Aye.
Yes.
Do pass.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Valesky.
Consent.
Move consent. Is there a second?
Second.
By Senator McCracken. All of those in favor of consent, vote aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, vote no. Go to the floor consent calendar. Is there any further business of this committee?
We'll adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Second by Senator Blasey. We are adjourned.